97.5 The Fanatic.
On 975 The Fanatic, Rob Motti with Joe Stazak, Eagles post game show, whatever you want to call it. We're here breaking it down. They beat the Jets 31-6. Cowboys now, they rally from a 31-3 deficit against the Green Bay Packers, lose 34-24, and I predicted this yesterday. I said the Eagles are going to cruise. How about them Cowboys? I said, so I'm on my Eagles 4 out of 5 I've hit. I had them winning week one with a backdoor Redskins cover. That happened. I had a 4-point loss to Atlanta. That happened. Score was off. Then I had them beating the Lions. We know what happened there. I thought they'd bounce back and then beat the Packers, which they did, and thought this would be a rout, and this was a rout. This is exactly where I thought they'd be. 3-2. I think they'll be 5-3 at the midpoint of the season. 5-3. Win 2 out of 3 on this road trip, and then really put a good streak together down the stretch. I think they could go 6-2, 7-1 in the second half. 6-2 will get them to 11-5. There's some tough games in there for sure, but then there's that stretch where they play 3 games against the Giants and the Redskins out of the last 4, with the other one being the Cowboys here, Joe. The offense needs to be more consistent, but overall, are you feeling better about this football team now at 3-2, tied for first place?
I'm feeling great that they're tied for first place. What a difference 10 days makes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a must-win game in Green Bay, and you saw the Green Bay 3-0 at the time. Not a bad football team going into Dallas and embarrassing the Cowboys today. But I will say this. My expectations, I've thrown them out the window. I think it's a good football team, not a great football team, and I think, Robbie, with the next 6 games, you mentioned the 3 on the road, the Vikings, the Cowboys, and the Bills. Then they have the Bears at home, the Patriots at home, the Seahawks at home. I know they're all home games, but I have them going 3-3 in the next 6.
3-3 in the next 6.
In the next 6. I had them 4-1 before the season started. At this point, they're a game behind, but I got, from what I know and from what I see, I got them 3-3. That's a tough schedule, tough 6 games.
They could very well go 2-1 on the road trip and then go 1-2 yes. here, lose to the Patriots. They always have a tough time against the Seahawks. Time. So that could happen, your 3-3 prediction. And if that happens, then they go into the final 5. Suppose they're at 3-3 right now, 3-2. They'll be at 6-5. They could win those final 5 and go 11, because the final 5 is Miami and the 4 division games with Dallas being here. That could very well play out. 3-3, win the last 5. You don't want to be in that situation though, where you're 6-5 and now you're fighting for a playoff spot. It's going to be an interesting next 6 weeks for sure, and the next 3 weeks are going to tell you a lot about this football team. Drew in Westchester, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Yo. Hey, what's going on, Rob? What's going on, Big Dog?
Hi, Drew.
Hey, man. So, yeah, how about them Cowboys? Pretty
fantastic.
Pretty interesting when you play a team that actually can play some football against you. You know what I mean?
Where are all those Cowboy callers, man? I had a guy who called me last week after the Eagles beat the Packers, and he wanted to complain about Craig James calling it a pass interference. I'm like, you're really concerned about a pass interference call against Craig James that you think wasn't called, and now look at your team. You're tied for first place.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, now they'll be a little quiet today, I think.
They got to be stunned at what happened today. Not just at the loss, but at the way it happened. They got schooled today.
No, they did. I mean, they made a little bit of a run there at the end, but now they were definitely embarrassed by a better team. And I think Dak really looked. I mean, he made some really awful plays.
Very ordinary. And I like Dak, but he did not play all that well.
And you know, he ends up with good fantasy numbers because he throws for 463 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he had the 3 picks in that game. Drew, what you think of your Eagles today, though?
No, Eagles, I thought it was going to be a 34-10 game, so it was pretty much right on par. Again, you know, everyone's saying the offense was a little underwhelming, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, they're still trying to figure themselves out. We still, you know, are missing Jackson. Really impressed with the defense. I loved seeing them step up, you know, especially with all the injuries we have on defense. I thought it was a great, great victory, you know, regardless of the opponent. And as far as the next few games go, I think 3-3 is I think, Joe, you're probably right in there, but I'd much rather see 4-2. So I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic and then shoot for 4-2 with these next six games.
It's going to tell you a lot about this team, Drew, and I appreciate the call, man. Always good stuff from you. It's going to tell you a lot about this team when they go on the road for these next three, and I think they can go on the road. And I like the culture in that locker room, what these guys are, and I think when they go on the road, they understand. Sometimes they play better. And you saw it. They go to Green Bay, tough road game, 4 days apart from their previous game, and they were able to go down there, rally around each other, win that football game. And I think sometimes when you're home, you get caught up in the home crowd, the atmosphere, and you take some things for granted. They know on this road trip they have to, and it's not like a baseball road trip where you're on the road and you stay on the road. You go play a game, you come back, you're back here in Philly. But you're going on the road for three games, and you really cannot afford to take anyone lightly. You have to play your A game, and this offense needs to develop some consistency.
Any concerns by you that Carson Wentz is 9-13 on the road in his career? Any concerns? I know a lot of it was his rookie year.
Yeah. You know, I look at the rookie year. I look at you want to talk about games on the road that were big. I look at the Cowboys game on the road in 2017 where it was like 9-7 at the half and then they blew them out Sunday night game. Then they
37-9.
Yeah, then they go to L.A., big game on the road. Yeah, he tore his ACL in that game, stayed in it, and threw his fourth touchdown pass.
That's phenomenal.
And then the Green Bay game last Thursday. So those are signature road wins against good teams. I don't get too concerned about that, to be honest with you.
All right,
let's go
fair.
To is Pat in L.A. as in Los Angeles? You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Pat from Los Angeles.
Originally born and raised
back there. Still a Philly fan all the way around. Although maybe the Dodgers might get there this year. I don't know. I'm not happy with this team right now. I mean, and my concern also is Carson Wentz. I mean, I just don't think Carson Wentz is not the guy he was back in 2017. He's not getting better, and he's making bad decisions. Still making bad decisions, and I think the window of opportunities actually passes by somewhat.
Has passed this team by?
I think when you look at the team's getting older. It really is. And the injuries are setting in. I'm really concerned about the way
this is a year right now where it's wide open in the NFC. It's there for them to take hold of it.
Now, although it is, if you look at, I mean, I don't know if you would call predictions, these soothsayers at the beginning of the year, you know, claiming this and that, but the Eagles were supposed to be playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I had them playing the St. Patriots in the Super Bowl, and I honestly don't care what anybody else predicts.
Yeah. So now they're 25-1 to get there. So I think their window of opportunity is coming up, like you're saying, over the next 4 to 5 games.
We're gonna
know who they are by the time they play Dallas.
Pat, I got to be honest. There's some merit to what you're saying. They do seem at times old and fragile, and they're the third oldest team in the league. But more than that, the window is smaller than I thought because of their age, I believe. I think Carson Wentz has many good years ahead of him. But, I think the next six games are going to be telling. I said yesterday that I would know where this team is and what they are after today, and I'm going to stand by that. To me, they're an above-average football team.
Yep. All I can say right now is go. Oh, by the way, and this is a cliche. Michael Vick and Nick Foles will not be coming through that door. So Carson, step up.
Well,
I was waiting for it.
I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Hey, Josh McCown's no slouch, but
no, that's a good backup.
Yeah,
it's good to have him as a backup.
He's a pretty good backup.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny. Before the game, he goes over to Sam Darnold. Comes over to him. And we know Sam Darnold's recovering from mono, right?
Yeah.
And he was his mentor last year, his backup quarterback. So Josh kiddingly like puts covers up his hand and turns his face like Sam's contagious. I don't want to catch that mono.
What do you think of Sam Darnold, by the way?
He's now missed six games in 2 years. Obviously mono, you can't, you know, you're not going to call him fragile for mono. It is what it is. I don't think we know yet about Sam Darnold, and this is going to be a big year for him. When you surround him with a guy like Le'Veon Bell, that should help take some of the pressure off him. So we'll see when he comes back and he's healthy. But they got such a terrible offensive line. It's going to be tough for him, even with Le'Veon Bell there. They do have some weapons at wide receiver. I think this is a team that'll be a little bit better later on in the year, so they're not going to be getting blown out. It's too bad that they're playing the Cowboys next week when Sam Darnold may just be getting back. The Cowboys will have an opportunity to do what the Eagles did this week, and they might even do a little bit better job.
I got to be honest. I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan. Now, I get it. It's hard to evaluate a guy when you have no time, and it's only his second year, and you're right. He's missed six games, but he was a walking turnover at USC, and he turned the ball over a lot last year, albeit his rookie year. A lot of a lot of first time
on a bad team.
On a bad team, but
now he's got his second coach already.
Yeah, I know he's the franchise guy. And I could be wrong, but
you like Daniel Jones better, right?
Oh, I love me some Danny Dimes. Love me some Danny Dimes. Yeah, I think he's going to be a stud.
Our guy Chris and Pence Hawkins on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, boys?
How are you, buddy?
Good. I'm with Joe, man. I mean, I'm not like highly concerned. But Carson has not done nothing for me special all year. He hasn't played four quarters at all consecutively in a row in a game. He's 8-8 in his last 16 games. He comes out sporadic in the first quarter. High, low, short, patting the ball, 5 seconds, he's getting sacked. He got two batted balls. I just don't see it, man. I'm highly concerned. I don't understand why he's playing like that.
Chris, week one against the Redskins, 72% of his passes he completed, 313 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and 121 passer rating.
Yeah, but
that's week one. And then week four against Green Bay.
Can I rebuttal that?
Go ahead.
The first two quarters, he stunk.
But the
it
bottom,
doesn't matter. You're reading all stats.
But the bottom line is
that's why.
The bottom line is in that game. Oh, the totality of the game, he was terrific.
You're throwing 50. He's throwing 58% completion ratios, and you keep bringing up. And you know, I love you, my man.
But he had 72% in week one.
Please let me finish. You keep saying after every other caller, he doesn't have Jackson. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers didn't have Evans. Carr couldn't hold Wentz's jock.
And he lost to the Eagles. He lost to the Eagles.
No, hold on. Let me finish. Once again. Brown's gone from the Raiders. Evans is gone from the Green Bay Packers. I mean, there's guys missing. We make an excuse for the guy every time, man, just because he's a good guy. I want to see results. I gave up my whole draft pick to move up to get Ginger Jesus, and he ain't doing it, man. He's just not.
They won the game by 25 points, Chris. They won the game by 25 points.
They're 5-0
if Aguilar catches a 60-yard touchdown and JJ catches that touchdown at the end of the Lions game. He leads you to two touchdowns.
This is where I'm going to get personal with you, Rob, because you played sports like I did. You're saying, well, if some butts were beers and nuts, we'd all have a party. Guess what? If that Redskins guy didn't get overthrown by 5 feet, we'd be 0-3, man. Come on, man. You're better than that.
That was early in the third quarter. You don't know how they respond. That's early in the third quarter. I'm talking about a fourth quarter.
Once again, it's two fourth quarter touchdowns,
Chris.
Carson Wentz could come in the city and kill everybody. You know what you'd say? Hey, he's God's children. It was okay. He had a
now,
plan.
Come on now. You're out of line.
Come on, Rob.
You're out of line. That ain't true.
You need to man up, Rob. Come on,
boys.
So you want me to criticize Carson Wentz after a 25-point win?
See, Rob, that's your problem with him because you're still in touch with him and you're his friend now. When you hold him accountable, you think you're criticizing him. I do hold him accountable.
There were plays today where he overthrew Aguilar.
You're
I know Aguilar got held up.
And
he overthrew him on one play. There's other plays where he's got to get rid of the ball. But I'm not going to come on here and bury a quarterback after a 25-point win. I appreciate the call, Chris. Thank you.
Oh, that got a little heated.
He's trying to make it personal because I'm friends with Carson Wentz. I hold him accountable.
I know you do.
When Carson Wentz makes a bad read, there were games last year. Remember the game against Carolina where he should have checked down, had a touchdown on Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah.
Then he threw one, he forced one into the end zone to Alshon Jeffrey. He should have made that throw. But I'm not going to sit here and say Nick Foles should be this team's quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and say you got to bench him for Nate Sudfeld, like somebody said early in maybe the first call, who I think was kind of trolling us a little bit, the guy who said Nate Sudfeld. You look at the totality of somebody's performance. So when you want to say he stunk in week one, the bottom line is they won that game. He had a 121 passer rating. He was bad in week one. In week four against the Green Bay Packers, he threw for 160 yards. It wasn't good enough for some people. Three touchdowns, no interceptions, 113 rating. That wasn't good enough for some people. There were people who were criticizing him for the performance against the Green Bay Packers. How?
What were they criticizing?
Well, he didn't have a great game. He didn't complete over 60% of his passes. He threw for under 200 yards. He missed this. He did. There are going to be people who are going to criticize regardless. And I think the quarterback gets too much of the credit when they win, and the quarterback gets too much of the blame when they lose. And when you talk about ifs, in the scenarios I'm talking about, with the pass to Nelson Aguilar with a minute 40 seconds left in the game, with the pass to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the last play of the game, we're not talking about if they threw a touchdown in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. We're talking about game-turning or game-winning touchdowns. He led them on those drives. The receivers dropped the ball.
All right, can I say something?
Sure.
Let me, and I want you to respond to this because you're absolutely right in everything you said. But after those plays, Carson Wentz ended up having the ball first and 10 at the 18 against Atlanta. And against Detroit, he had the ball at the 50-yard line, needing 20 yards to put themselves in field goal positions. Now, his teammates let him down. I'm not going to argue that. But he still had opportunities at the end. That's what I think Chris
Atlanta,
is talking about.
Zach Ertz catches the pass 9 yards on, was it third and 10? Fourth and 10, right? Fourth and 10.
That was a ridiculous play.
Well, you could actually put that a little bit on a quarterback.
I know.
You could put that on a quarterback. The tight end ran a 9.5-yard route on fourth and 10.
I will never understand that.
And I would imagine, and maybe it's tough to see if it's a first down when you throw it because he's right there, but
run 11 yards and turn around.
If you want to put that on the quarterback, you can put it on the quarterback.
He went into Lambeau and won.
I know.
I think Chris is concerned about inconsistency. From what I gather from what Chris said, he's thinking big picture and he's looking at it and a little inconsistent, and that's what I think he's criticizing.
There has been inconsistency up and down on the offense. There absolutely has been inconsistency on this offense.
Go ahead.
And there's too many penalties on the offensive line today. They had some turnovers against, and let's go back to the Detroit game. Miles Sanders fumbles twice in his span of three plays.
Yep.
That turned the game around.
It did.
The special teams touchdown turned the game around, too, as well.
Well, let me ask you this, because this team was built around its offense, and it was supposed to be explosive, and they were loaded on paper, and they have Carson Wentz and whatnot. They haven't been a juggernaut that I think that we expected.
Haven't.
So are you concerned about that?
I go back to this. Deshaun hasn't played since week one. Alshon missed two games, right? And they lost both of those games. So you lose two games without Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. You take out your two best weapons, and you lose two both of those games when the guys filling in for them did not do their job. I would be concerned if this was week eight, they're healthy, and they're playing this way. Week five, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm not there yet. But I can understand. I can understand some frustration for sure. Jamie in York, you're on I-75, The Fanatic. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, listen. So I have to back up a little bit to the guy that just called in before. I think he's completely wrong. He went off the deep end there for some reason, and this is not the reason I called in. But, man, O'Day, give Carson a break. I mean, geez Louise. He has played some really, really good football.
Well, he's played good football. He's played some inconsistent football for sure. He's certainly not at the level that he was in 2017 when he finished third in the NFL in MVP voting. He's not. He's not there yet.
And what is that? I don't know if it tells you anything, but are you concerned about that? That this team as a whole hasn't been the same since they won the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I think once again, this is not why I called in, but I think with the absence of Reich, I think that's a huge thing.
That's a big one.
I agree. I totally agree. It was much more creative. It had flow. I thought the play calling was better. It just worked.
That's a great point, Jamie. Without Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, who was the quarterback's coach that year in 2017, this offense hasn't flowed the same way. Doesn't have the same rhythm. Doesn't have the same consistency. And doesn't have the same finish. They don't finish the way they did back then. You mentioned this, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago on a post-game show, Joe, when you mentioned Frank Reich. And it's hard to overlook that.
That's a big thing that we're missing. But the reason I called in, so what do you guys think about the running backs today? Like, they killed Green Bay with the thunder and lightning, and I love Sproles. Sproles is awesome, but why are they bringing him in that early when we killed with Sanders and Howard?
Yeah, Howard, and I appreciate the call, Jamie. Thank you. Jordan Howard did a good job today. 4.8 yards per carry, 62 yards. Miles Sanders, aside from the Green Bay game, hasn't looked that good on the ground. Now he's getting catches.
He's getting catches. Big catches.
You want it to be Jordan Howard all the way. Mix in a little bit of Miles Sanders. And you said earlier in the show about Darren Sproles don't really care to see. And I don't know that he will, other than week one when he was the featured guy
nine carries.
And now since then today, he doesn't really get it going. 3 carries, 4 yards. This team is built to win on the ground, because that offensive line is so good at run blocking and they love to do it. I would like to see them emphasize the run a whole lot more. And when you take Deshaun, and just last week, Doug Peterson said this, Joe, when you take Deshaun Jackson out of the lineup, the recipe, the formula for success is to run the ball.
It was pretty balanced today. 25 carries if you take out Wentz and McCown versus 30 dropbacks.
30 dropbacks?
Yep.
30 dropbacks. Yeah, you take out the two kneels. You take out the two scrambles. First time this season, Carson Wentz failed to convert on a sneak.
Can you believe that?
I thought they should have done it on third down.
I agree. I was stunned.
Go for it. Go for the sneak on third down.
Didn't they throw the ball on third down?
Yeah, they threw the ball. I think it was to Zach Ertz.
Okay.
And that may have been a bad throw where he was open.
Yeah, it tells me that they probably wanted to throw because they had the backup plan.
And they knew
we were
going to go. We always get it.
I was stunned.
21 maybe for 23.
I was stunned.
610-632-0975. Eagles beat the Jets, and a lot of people are not happy with the W. A lot of people out there are not happy with a 25-point victory over the New York Jets. Jets. John, Frankie, hang on. We'll get to you next. You can be in after them at 610-632-0975. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. 975 The Fanatic.
975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
And welcome back, 975 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with Joe Stazak. This is the post-game show after the Eagles beat the New York Jets 31-6. So I wasn't in there for Doug Peterson because the Eagles do this locker room. The locker room's open. Peterson goes to the podium. You got to pick and choose. I wanted to stay in the locker room and talk to players afterwards, so I had to go back and listen to Doug Peterson on a computer, and then also I got the transcript in front of me, and I love where the question was, do you feel like you guys played well? And he said, no. We didn't. And he pointed to the penalties. He pointed to just playing average. For instance, he said first down run for 8 or 9 yards, and then we have a holding or a pass and either give up a sack or a holding. Penalties just put us in too many long situations today. Second and long, third and long. They seemed completely out of sync today. And after that, the first drive, which was a 53-yard touchdown drive, went well. Then they turned it over on downs. Then they were out of sync for much of the rest of the game. They did get a nice field position after Rodney McLeod's interception that set up a touchdown. Other than that, it was all defense all day, Joe. And we've said it now for going on 90 minutes. This offense has to do better, no doubt. They have to do better to beat better teams.
I totally agree. And I talked about yesterday that I wanted to see a complete game. I wanted to see a demolition in 2017 fashion. You know, football is made up of three components: offense, defense, special teams. And if you ask me, you could only check one box today, and that was defense.
Yeah. And the special teams wasn't really special.
No.
There was one.
Turned the ball over.
There was a turnover on a punt return, and there was the kickoff that I think went for about 40-ish yards. So they have to nail things down on offense and play a absolutely three-phase football game to get some of these wins on the road that they have coming up. John in Drexel Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Great. Good game, good win today. But my goodness, these fans are unbelievably negative. Negadelphia. And I've been a long-time Philadelphia fan. They just beat another professional team by 25 points. And this guy, a couple back, you make it sound like the Eagles suck. They don't. Sure, they're off to a slow start. Well, who played in the preseason? Nobody. You know, Carson Wentz hasn't played in a long, long time. I don't know when he got injured last year. I can't remember. But he didn't play. He didn't play the preseason. And that's much faster game when the regular season starts. So you have to cut him a break.
You know what, John? They're 5 games in.
Yeah, but that's a good point about not playing in the preseason and those who want to point to the Redskins game and say, well, he stunk in the first half. Well, they also didn't play together in the preseason. And despite having a mediocre first half in that Redskins game in week one, they were still able to bounce back, and he had tremendous stats that game. So good point about the preseason, John. But like to Joe's point, yeah, they haven't. They're now 5 games into it. The preseason doesn't matter.
I have 2 more points, real quick. Two complete passes, they'd be 5-0. Two complete passes, and everybody be kicking Carson Wentz's butt.
Yeah, people don't want to hear that, apparently.
But it could go the other way, too. They could have lost to Green Bay.
They were right in their hands, and they dropped the ball. So it could have been 5-0. When Wentz played that Los Angeles game where he was hurt, that's it. I became a huge Wentz fan. He's a baller, that guy.
I don't know anybody who's ever stayed in a game and thrown a touchdown after tearing their ACL. I've seen guys get carted off.
Donovan threw 4 touchdown passes on a broken leg.
On a broken ankle. Broken foot.
But his knee was trashed. He had no stability. Yeah, he stayed in and threw a touchdown pass.
I did see Donovan and Randall both walk off the field after tearing their ACL. They both did. I know Donovan walked off. Randall got carted around the field.
They couldn't find the exit, so he did like 3 laps.
Donovan walked off.
Well, he's a baller. We're lucky to have Wentz. One more point. It was a pleasure watching the Washington and Cardinal game. That's good old fashioned baseball. None of this analytic crap that we're getting shoved down our throats. 1-0 game. Pitchers duel strategies. It was terrific to watch. It was a good game. Did you guys watch? Get a chance to see any of it?
No, but I heard Atlanta scored 2 runs in the 9th.
Yeah, it was a hell of a game. Like old-fashioned baseball, you know? Trying to move the runners and strategy. You know, where nowadays, I can't stand the Phillies anymore. I can't.
I hate to tell you this, but more and more teams really implement analytics. It's just a matter of how they're using it. I think we blow way out of proportion the Phillies' use of analytics. But if you look around the league, the good teams, look at A.J. Hinch and the Houston Astros. Man, that guy with analytics, they do all kinds of stuff. They win because they have talent. That's the bottom line. Talent wins. So I appreciate the call, man.
Too.
Thank you, John.
All right, thanks.
Let's get to Frankie. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Frankie?
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks for making it, buddy.
You got it, babe.
Yeah, I think it was a good game. Couple points that the Jets defense isn't no slouch.
They're actually they're decent on defense. You're right.
Against the run, their secondary leaves something to be desired, but they played well today. I thought they played well.
And it was good to see our D line step up. It was good to see that Sweat got a sack and the other guy. What's the other guy?
Ridgeway got
Hassan
a sack.
Hassan Ridgeway got a sack. Deshaun Hall got a sack. Brandon Graham almost matched his total from last year. He had three today.
How about that?
Yeah, and another point. I was watching that rookie cornerback. James?
Yeah, Craig James.
I think he played a pretty good game. He's a lot more physical than I'm sort of done with Sidney Jones. He has a target on his back when I think all teams target him. And he hasn't played up to his second round pick potential at all.
Like, no, he definitely hasn't.
I don't want to see him on the field again. I mean, I'd rather see this James. You know, like, he's taking, he's making good of his opportunity. That's how that Malcolm Butler got his opportunity.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, like, what do you guys think about how he played?
Craig James?
Yeah,
I think he got exposed a little bit today. I think you saw, and this was against a bad football team and a quarterback who was completely unprepared. But you did see Craig James show you why he was on the street until a couple, 10 days ago or so?
10 days ago,
15 days ago. I appreciate the call, Frankie. Thank you. They need some help in that secondary. We've talked about all the options, Joe, that they could go after. I have a feeling that this team is going to count on, one, Ronald Darby coming back healthy, Jalen Mills coming back, and Jalen told me 2 weeks ago that he expects to be ready when he can come off the PUP list, which would be after the Minnesota game.
Right, that's
for
correct,
Dallas.
After 6 games.
And then don't forget, Cravon LeBlanc at some point midway through this season can come back.
Who I like.
You're talking about three guys who could come back to help your secondary without having to make trades. And then, as you alluded to, this is an old football team. There's some reluctance to trade their draft picks because they are an old football team.
I agree. You know, that's the reason why they might be hesitant to pull the trigger, because these guys are getting up there in age, and you build your team through the draft, and you know, Dallas did it with a lot of success. They're going to be good for a long time. I don't know how good, but they're going to be okay. But the Eagles, and I did a piece on it, their homegrown talent, it's not plentiful with this team. And most of the guys on this team, the starters, were either trades or free agent signings.
Yeah, and they got a hit on some of them draft picks.
Got a hit.
If you're not hitting on these draft picks, at some point you're going to suffer. You can't cover up mistakes consistently with free
That's
agent
exactly
signings
right.
and with trades. You
That's
have right. to hit on some. Hey, Derek Barnett got a sack today.
How about that?
He joined in the party finally. Shannon's in Georgia. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, guys, man. It's good to talk to you guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to be a downer or anything like this, but I mean, I struggled watching that game. I mean, that Jets team. I mean, I've watched this, you know, NFL for 35 years. That's one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life. I just got to be honest. I mean, offensively, they shouldn't have had that kid out there, Falk. There's no excuse for that. But my concern is this, and you guys were just talking about Eagles draft picks. Where is JJ Arcega-Whiteside? Is there any reason why he's not playing?
That's a really good question, because today I looked down there and Mac Hollins is getting all those snaps, and JJ, you haven't seen much from him since he dropped that pass against the Lions that could have won that football game.
Yep.
Yeah, you haven't seen much at all, and I'm thinking, my God, if he can't get on the field at this game, even the fourth quarter, I saw him nowhere. And I'm also kind of concerned why Corey Clement is returning kicks. I mean, I don't think that's something I ever saw him do at Wisconsin. Are they trying to get him on the field? It almost seems like they need to switch the roles between him and Sproles. Let Sproles return.
Well, Sproles got hurt. He was hurt. That's why Clement was in the game.
All right.
Yeah, all right. And then after he muffed it, they went to Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
So
I don't think that's a good role for him, man. I'd rather see him take those snaps that Darren Sproles has, you know, that third back, as far as, you know, him playing punt return. I don't think it's fair to do that to the kid. So
anyway, good win,
but you know, Jets really offensively, they're not a professional team at this point with those guys missing on the line and with the Falcon quarterback. But otherwise, a win's a win. I'll take it.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Now, let me ask you this, because you were at the game. There's a delay on the replays, and you're not hearing the announcers. Did you know on that play it looked like the ball hit Ryan Lewis's foot? So it was a free ball, and that's why Clement went up to get it.
I think that's why he went up to get it, because he thought it hit Ryan Lewis. I couldn't tell on the replay if it did hit
Lewis. They didn't have a good replay on TV. No.
Because the one... But I'm pretty sure I didn't talk to Corey Clement after the game, and that's a good question to ask him. Did he go after? I'm pretty sure he did. The only reason he did go after that said, the role of punt returner for him is something I don't remember him. Yeah, you know, I don't think he's accustomed to doing that. I could easily check that and see if he's ever had a punt return for the Eagles at some point, because they quickly went to Nelson Aguilar after that. Looking back, has he ever? Punt returns, playoffs, kick and punt, kick, no punt, no. He did return 6 punts
last
year in 2018. So he had some experience, 6 punt returns last year.
Do you think he got benched because of the fumble?
I think they just wanted to go to Nelson shorthanded on the punts. We say that, and then we look at him on the catches. How about this, Joe? The Jets thought after Trevor Siemian got hurt and Sam Darnold's out that their best chance at winning a football game would be to go to a guy like Luke Falk. And it's easy to say this every time a team goes out and signs somebody, but there's a quarterback who lives in New York right now who's been out of a job for 3 years that certainly would have made it a more exciting football game. I think Colin Kaepernick could have walked in off the street and just walk in off the street not having played in 3 years and do a better job than Luke Falk.
Do a better job, yeah. It's
incredible.
It's incredible they didn't go out, and even if it wasn't Colin Kaepernick, get a veteran quarterback who can step in right away, even if he's not versed on the playbook in its entirety, and he would have played better than Luke Falk today. You know, it's a shame. The kid, again, he was on
tough.
The practice
he
squad.
Hung in there.
He did
he
hang
got
in
beat
there.
Up.
He was a walk-on at Washington State and then killed it for 4 years.
He got beat up. He was, and we said he was not prepared. When your coach, you talk about when coaches say, I need to put him in a better position to make plays. Yeah, maybe you need to practice the kid with the starters the week of a football game instead of thinking a quarterback who's got mono is going to come back and risk his life.
I do think Jim Schwartz, I don't like to pat guys on the back who do what they're supposed to do, but Jim Schwartz is pretty set in his ways, but he did blitz a lot today, which you have to do against the kid. The game's moving so fast for him already. Give him less time
to
throw.
Plan.
Good game plan.
For sure. 610-632-0975. Donald, hang on. We'll get to you next. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak breaking down as the Eagles W over the New York Jets. 31-6 win that has left some people feeling a little about the W, because the offense was inconsistent. The offense didn't really dominate. The defense did. The defense did a great job today. Stepped up, did what they had to do against an inferior opponent. Sacked the quarterback 10 times after they had 3 sacks in the first 4 games. their stats now. It was a stat booster game, and they really boosted their stats. They get a defensive touchdown on an interception return. They get one on a fumble return. First team in NFL history with 10 sacks and 2 defensive touchdowns. Fumble return, interception in the same game. So they did the job. The offense was inconsistent, and that's got some people feeling a little unhappy about this. Wynn, let's hear what Donald in Lansdowne has to say. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Don?
Hey, how you doing?
Awesome.
You know, it's funny. When I was watching the game today, it reminded me when we played the Redskins, where we had Howard, Sanders, and Sproles. And Sproles playing a lot. And Sproles played a lot of snaps today. And I also noticed, you know how they script the first 15 plays?
Yep.
Well, if you notice the first 15 plays and then the rest of the plays during the game, it seemed like Carson Wentz was checking out of or audibling out of that play at least 60% of the plays. And that shows me that Doug Peterson was not ready. He was not ready as far as his game planning. I don't think he was ready as far as knowing what to call against their defense. And Carson Wentz didn't like it, and he checked out of like 60% of the plays.
Where'd you get those numbers, bro?
If you look at the game, he looked right at his wristband when he went into the game, the first play of the game, and he checked out of it. And he checked out of at least 60% of the plays that were called.
Well, when he looks at the wristband, though, Donald, it doesn't mean he's checking out of it because he's getting a call in his ear. He's looking down.
He kept saying, kill, kill, kill.
Oh, yeah. If he says
some of that, he does that every week.
Yeah, he's saying some of that. It's a great observation.
But I don't think Doug Peterson was ready as far as, the game plan because he was checking out of a lot of plays. He was audibling out a lot of plays. And even though the Jets' defense is above average, but still just the same, I think we should have had a breakout game with our offense.
That's a good question to ask, and I will look into that, Donald. So I appreciate you.
Look at the film.
Yeah. I'll definitely look at that and ask the questions this week about it. How many times did he check down?
He played down to just like we did against the Redskins, because Sproles shouldn't have been on the field that much. I think Sanders, I think we should use him more as a receiver. If you're not going to play J.J. Whiteside and you're not going to throw the ball to Hollins, and then look at Aguilar. He hasn't caught anything.
So you're concerned overall with Doug Peterson's play calling?
Yes.
I think it's a legitimate, and I appreciate the call. I think that's a legitimate concern because, as Joe, we've alluded to and you've talked about numerous times here, and it's, you don't want to sit there and say Frank Reich is the reason why they won that Super Bowl. But when they have an offense that was so efficient, so fluid, and had so much success, and then you remove the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach from the equation, and since then they've struggled to find that kind of consistency, it's not hard to go 1 + 1 = 2. When you look at both of those scenarios, Mike Groh isn't Frank Reich. And Frank Reich is showing you right now with a backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett that he's a pretty darn good football coach.
You think? He's been awesome. Jacoby Brissett, I won't put him on Andrew Luck's level, but he's played at a very high level. And think about it. 2 years ago, he was a third-string quarterback for the Patriots. You know, he's the quarterback whisperer. You know, he was a quarterback and, perennial backup. But
yeah,
still, I mean, Doug Peterson was a backup, and he's done a nice job so far. But I think they really miss him.
There's something to it, man.
I think they really miss Frank Reich.
And when you first mentioned it a couple weeks ago, I was like, I haven't heard this point in a couple months because since season had just started, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. This is, you think about it, and then you just add it up, and you go, this offense just has not been that fluid, and we'll see if they can pick it up over the next 3 weeks. They sure have to because they're not going to beat good teams playing the way they did today. Erickson Conshohocken, he's on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, how you doing tonight?
Awesome. All right, Eric.
Yeah, I was going to kind of say the same thing. Carson Wentz threw for under 200 yards today against, I think, the Jets, the worst pass defense.
It is, yes, that's correct.
That's not good. I mean, the one pass, he totally overthrew Aguilar wide open. That should have been a touchdown. He had a couple like that that were kind of not the best throws. Not that accurate today. I don't know.
He could have certainly done better today, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, overall,
and they still win by 25 points. You'll take a 25 point victory when the offense plays as a whole, pretty mediocre.
Right, and like I said, the 2017 team would have crushed this team. It would have been 57-10 or something like that. And this team kind of, like you said, they kind of sputter. They have some good plays, and they'll have a 10-yard penalty, and then they'll have another really good play, and then they'll, you know, have a turnover or a couple drop passes. Doesn't seem to be anywhere near the dominant team we had in 2017 offensively. And I just kind of worry down the stretch, you know, can we beat these elite teams? Can we be a playoff team that actually goes far in the playoffs? Is that who we are this year? And so far, it kind of seems like we resemble more the 2018 team offensively than the 2017.
Yeah, I've been saying that, Eric. It feels a lot like last year, and they haven't been that fluid offense, you know, playing with alacrity and efficiency and explosiveness since 2017. This feels a lot like last year, more than it feels like 2017. That concerns me.
And if
Where's the explosiveness?
Yeah, they were built to be explosive, and they haven't been.
If they play offensively the way they did on the road at Lambeau against Green Bay, which is a good defense, they can beat anybody. But if they play on offense the way they did today against the Jets, they're not going to beat good football teams. And I appreciate the call. That's the bottom line with this football team. They go on the road against a good Green Bay Packers defense, backs against the wall, a must-win September game. We looked at that and said, wow, I can't believe we're saying must-win game, week four of the season. But at 1-2, it was a must-win game, and the offense was efficient. The numbers for the quarterback in the passing game weren't great because he threw for 160, but he also had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 113 passer rating. And the ground game was dominant with 176 yards on the ground. I'll take that every single week rather than have a 400-yard pass. Look at Dak Prescott today. He threw for almost 500 yards. They lost the football game.
By 10.
He racked up the fantasy numbers. I know he had 3 picks. He racked up the fantasy numbers. They lost the football game.
Here's what I think. In defense of the Eagles, it's life in the NFL. You know, look at Minnesota last week, how bad they looked, how bad Kirk Cousins looked. Adam Thielen's calling him out. Stephon Diggs didn't even want to play with him this week. And today he was Brady, 22 of 27, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and a rating of 138.6. It's a week-to-week thing often.
That's a darn good football game
darn
Kirk Cousins
football.
Had.
He was awesome today.
And maybe he felt the heat. He felt the pressure. Diggs was 3 catches, 44 yards. Adam Thielen, 7 for 130.
And 2 touchdowns.
That's a scary game right now going into Minnesota next week.
I agree.
We'll have plenty of time to look ahead to that game. 610-632-0975. Lance, Sean, Dan, hang on. We'll get to you next. You can join in after them. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.